Well, I do consider it a privilege to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to serve here at ABC and to be involved in a variety of tasks over these past 13 years as I've served here since I graduated from here. And I'm just so appreciative of how God has used me in a variety of different ways. You know, and one of my tasks over the more recent years has been to help prepare the banner, to help visualize our theme of the year. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of being servants in the gospel, if there might be some other visualization that you might think of. But this particular illustration actually came and corresponds with the front cover of your chapel journals, as the company that designs those gives us a variety of options of different pictures that we might include on our chapel journal. And this was one of their options and was the one that we picked. And we chose to include that and incorporate that on our banner. And I think feet serve as an effective illustration of being servants in the gospel. And there are a couple of biblical references that connect the gospel and feet. In the book of Romans, Paul poses a series of questions in chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. You don't have to turn there. But Paul says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So how do people call on the Lord to be saved? Ultimately, it starts with feet being willing to go and share the gospel with others. A second familiar reference to feet and the gospel is in Ephesians 6, as Paul goes through the armor of God, and he says in verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You know, I think this is where many of you students are today. You're preparing your feet as you sit under God's word and study the gospel. You're preparing to be servants in the gospel. And so I encourage you to arm your feet well. You know, feet are an interesting part of the body. Did you know that 25% of all the human bones are found in your feet? 52 bones, exactly, in your pair of feet. And when the bones are out of alignment, so is the rest of your body. Foot ailments can become your first sign of more serious medical problems. Your feet mirror your general health, so conditions like arthritis, diabetes, nerve and circulatory disorders can show their initial symptoms in your feet. And I'm sure there's a good spiritual analogy in there somewhere, but that's not really my focus this morning. How many of you would say that you think feet are really gross? By a show of hands, you think feet are really... My wife thinks feet are disgusting. You know, with the exception of, you know, children under the age of 5 or maybe under the age of 2 even. Did you know that in a pair of feet there are 250,000 sweat glands producing approximately half a pint of perspiration daily? Anybody want to reconsider that feet are pretty gross? Personally, I like my feet. I think I have very nice feet, actually. I might be a little biased, but I've sometimes considered, and I'm serious, I've sometimes considered if this ministry thing didn't work out, maybe I could try to be a foot model. You know, the bottoms of my feet are pretty soft and smooth. My toes are relatively straight. I don't have any weird toenail fungus thing going on. All of my toes are proportionately smaller than the others. Okay. Now, you laugh now, but someday when you see my feet on a commercial somewhere... But on a more serious note, no matter what you think of other people's feet, or even what you think of your own feet, there is one person's feet that we should all be comfortable with, and that's the feet of Jesus. And there's a character in the New Testament in which all three accounts that they are mentioned, they are found at the feet of Jesus. This person is Mary of Bethany. And as we focus on being servants in the gospel, I think it's appropriate that we learn from Mary, as was mentioned in our meditation verse, that Christ himself declared that she would be an example and that her story would be shared everywhere the gospel is preached. And today I would like to look at two of these accounts of this example servant in the gospel. And I'd like for you to consider two lessons at the feet of Jesus as seen through the example of Mary of Bethany. Our first lesson comes from the book of Luke in chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Follow along as I read. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So two lessons at the feet of Jesus. Our first lesson is to choose the best at the feet of Jesus. Choose the best at the feet of Jesus. In this passage, first take note of the comparison between Martha and Mary. We have this comparison seen in verses 38 through the first part of verse 40. And as we look at these first few verses, I think we can catch a glimpse of the personalities of Martha and Mary, these two sisters. First, we see that Martha is serving and preoccupied. Martha is serving and preoccupied. We see in verse 38 that this is Martha's house, and she is the one that is receiving Jesus into her house. She's the hostess. And I'm sure that Martha is a prime example of hospitality. I had an occasion, I think maybe about a year or two ago, as I was traveling with Dr. Anderson as he was preaching at a church, that we were hosted in the home of Dr. and Mrs. Alderman for lunch. And Dr. and Mrs. Alderman are prime examples of good old Southern hospitality. I remember being struck as we entered the home and they allowed us to freshen up a little bit. And as I returned from the restroom, and they're sitting in the den, well, that tells you one thing, how many people still have a den? You know, it doesn't have a TV or anything in it, but they're sitting in the den. And as I enter the room, Dr. Alderman stands up as I enter and motions to me to have a seat. And then Mrs. Alderman prepares this beautiful spread. I mean, you would have thought it was a Thanksgiving dinner, with the fine china and the nice tablecloth. And they were just prime examples of hospitality. And I think Martha is an example of that here. She was a doer. She was absorbed with making sure everything was perfect. She wanted everything to be just right for their guest, particularly their guest and Jesus. So Martha is serving and preoccupied. And then notice the contrast in that Mary is sitting and paying attention. Verse 39 says that she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know, while Martha is maybe the doer and making sure everything's perfect, Mary might be described as the people person. We read of an account in the book of John where this town of Bethany, where they're located, was described as being the town of Mary. So while it was Martha's house, it was the town of Mary. Mary was probably the person who would walk down the village streets and everyone would smile when they saw Mary coming. I don't know which of these two you might better identify with. And I'm not saying that necessarily one is better than the other. The reality is that we need doers and we need people persons. Personally, I don't like people. I'm happy to just sit in a room and get my task done. We're all different, and that's okay. I'm glad I'm not like some of you. I'd probably drive myself crazy. And you can be glad you're not like me. You know, it takes many different members to make up the body of Christ. But here comes the problem. We see the comparison between Martha and Mary, and then secondly, we see the complaint from Martha in the second part of verse 40. Martha came to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." With this complaint, first take note of her conjecture. She says, "Lord, dost thou not care?" We get a sense of Martha's attitude in this statement. You know, a complaining attitude as you serve can be very detrimental. How's your attitude as you serve, as you're required to do your weekly Christian service assignments? Do you find yourself maybe complaining a little bit? When we as staff are asked to do something that we don't really want to do, do we maybe find ourselves complaining a little bit? Complaining about our circumstances we might face as we serve? And maybe you feel like Martha sometimes and you find yourself asking, "Lord, don't you care?" And then her conjecture is followed by her conceit. "My sister hath left me to serve alone." Notice her focus here. It's on me. She wasn't concerned with the task getting done. She's concerned that she's the only one doing it. We see a sense of her pride and her self-pity. You know, and as any time that we start to focus on ourselves, we're focusing on the wrong thing. So let me ask you, am I putting more focus on my service or on the one that I'm serving? So her conceit then is followed by her command. She says, "Bid her therefore that she help me." You know, it's often easy for us to look at others and think we know what they should be doing for the Lord. You know, that person needs to get with it. And yet we often miss the important part of looking at our own responsibilities of what we should be doing. So Martha's complaint is then followed by the correction from Jesus in verses 41 through 42. We see in the correction from Jesus first that Martha is admonished for her complaint. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, or thou art anxious and troubled about many things." Notice that Jesus didn't reply directly to her complaint, but I think he went straight to the root of the problem. "You are anxious and troubled about many things." I don't know if you might find yourself anxious this morning about something going on in your life. We're coming to a time of the year where we find ourselves being anxious about many different things. Only 27 days left to find that perfect gift. And then we've got Christmas concerts and Christmas cantatas and Christmas banquets. We've got Christmas decorations to get up, family get-togethers. You've got the in-laws. Not that I'm anxious about that. I have really great in-laws. But Jesus said to Martha, "You are anxious and troubled about many things. And therein lies the problem. So how do we combat being anxious? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You know these verses. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Martha was admonished for her complaint, but then Mary was applauded for her choice in verse 42. Mary was applauded for her choice. Jesus said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Notice how Mary's choice is described. First, it's single. He says, one thing is needful, or one thing is necessary. You know, Martha was focused on so many different things that she missed the most important part. But Mary got it. Not only is it single, but it's also superior. It's the better choice. Mary hath chosen that good part. You know, maybe it wasn't necessarily wrong for Martha to be focused on the serving, but Jesus said that Mary made the best choice in sitting and listening at the feet of Jesus. It's single, it's superior, but then it's also secure. It shall not be taken away from her. You know, if you want to invest in something that's really going to last, sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What are you focusing on? Mary was applauded for her choice. Now, am I saying that we should all stop serving and just become monks and read the Bible all day? No, we are called to serve. Life is for service, but may it not be at the expense of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Students, allow me to suggest that you are at a stage in your life in which, in a sense, you are being forced to sit at the feet of Jesus every single day. And yes, serving is important, and we encourage you to serve here. But unfortunately, over the years, I've seen some students get so involved and cumbered with much serving that they sacrifice their opportunity to sit and learn at Jesus' feet. Some even to the point of dropping out of school and not completing their training, all in the name of serving. And I'm not saying that they won't be effective in their service or that God won't use them. But we see here that Christ said Mary chose the good part. She made the best choice at the feet of Jesus. Let me also challenge you, as my own heart has been convicted, to be careful that we do not substitute our service for the Lord for our time and fellowship with the Lord. I think it can be very easy for us, particularly as you serve in ministry, to use our service as an excuse for neglecting our personal time and sitting at the feet of Jesus. As Dr. A mentioned at the beginning of the year, the intentionality of the word in our theme, as we focus on being servants in the gospel, let us take to heart this first lesson from Mary of Bethany and choose the best at the feet of Jesus. And then our second lesson from Mary of Bethany is to offer your all at the feet of Jesus. Offer your all at the feet of Jesus. Now, there are several accounts of this particular story, so I'll ask you to turn to Matthew 26. verse 10 and hold your finger there. We'll come to that in a second, but we'll start with John chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. So we'll come to Matthew 26 in a moment. We'll start with John chapter 12. I think this helps give us the more detail of this account. So John chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. By the way, that's the other account that we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. So if you want to read it sometime, it's John chapter 11, just the previous chapter. A wonderful account of, as we see the compassion that Jesus had. Verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? But because he was a... This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And then Matthew chapter 26. We see the conclusion of this account starting in verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. So as we look at this second lesson to offer your all at the feet of Jesus, first take note of the description of the gift. In John chapter 12, the first part of verse 3, it says, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. A pound of ointment would have been about a cup and a half of this perfume, and this fragrance, spikenard, was squeezed from a plant grown in India and was said to be one of the most expensive perfumes in the world. And Mark's account tells us that it was pure. You know, this wasn't some watered down or some cheap imitation. This was the real thing, exquisite and extraordinarily expensive. It says it was very costly, and later on we see it was worth 300 pence, nearly a year's wages. Most likely this was a gift that she probably received from her mother that would have been passed down from generation to generation. You know, what do you have that you consider very valuable to you? And I'm not necessarily talking about possessions, although that might be the case. Maybe it's your time or your family or friends or your plans. You know, are you willing to give that as a gift to the Lord? The description of the gift is then followed by the dispensing of the gift. In the second part of verse 3, we see what Mary did with it. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We see the recipient of her gift is Jesus himself. What better person than to offer our most valuable possession to? There's a quote from Spurgeon where he said, is anything wasted which is all for Jesus? It might rather seem as if all would be wasted which was not given to him. And then we see the reverence of Mary as she wiped his feet with her hair. You know, what an act of humility and reverence for her Lord. And then the result is as the odor permeated the whole house. You know, as we do an act of service for the Lord, it will have an effect on those around us. They'll see this amazing gift, and they'll rejoice together So the odor permeated the whole house. Now, unfortunately, the dispensing of this gift was not appreciated by everyone. And we see next the disapproval of the gift in verses 4 through 6 of John 12. As Judas says, wait a second, why didn't we sell this and give the money to the poor? And yet we know his motives weren't pure. Here Mary is offering a beautiful gift to the Lord out of her pure love for him. And then she receives this ridicule by those around her. And I'm sure this must have been heartbreaking for Mary. I don't know if you've ever tried to do something nice for someone and you had pure motives and you were doing it out of a love for them and it just wasn't taken the right way. I remember one occasion when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old as a kid, and my mom was in the kitchen cleaning dishes or cooking or something like that, but she had a bad case of the hiccups. And so me being the guy who wants to try and fix things, I came up with the idea that I'd get a paper bag and blow it up and sneak up behind her and pop the bag right behind her, thinking I'm helping her, getting rid of her hiccups. Well, she didn't take it that way. And she proceeded to turn around and scold me, and if I remember correctly, maybe even sent me to my room. I don't remember. But I remember being heartbroken by it because I was trying to help her. And in an even greater sense, I can't imagine how Mary must have felt as she received this ridicule from those around her. And then the disapproval of the gift is followed by the defense of the gift. Now in Matthew chapter 26, verses 10 through 12, we see the defense of this gift by Jesus himself. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have always the poor with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured out this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Christ reprimands the disciples and says that she's done this as a good work. Jesus knew the intents and the motives of Mary in the same way that he knew the motives of Judas and why he was saying it should have been sold. Mary's deed was beautiful because it came out of her love for Jesus Christ. It could be said that the worth or worthlessness of any gift is dependent upon our motive. What we give to Jesus Christ for self-serving reasons will come to nothing, but what we give to him out of love will never be forgotten. And Christ also describes what Mary did as being for his burial. Now, I don't know if Mary actually understood that that's what she was doing, or that's what it represented. But what a beautiful picture. As she pours out her gift, this perfume, with abandon on him, he would soon pour his life with abandon for her. And then the defense of the gift is followed finally by the dedication of the gift. In Matthew 26:13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Jesus said to her in essence, Mary, your deed is so beautiful, I will never forget it or allow the world to forget it. Wherever my story is told, yours will be told also. And here we are centuries later, remembering the example of Mary's gift to Christ. Remember the dedication of this gift as Mary offered her all at the feet of Jesus. So two lessons from Mary of Bethany at the feet of Jesus. Choose the best at the feet of Jesus and offer your all at the feet of Jesus. A Scottish preacher from the 1800s wrote this of Mary. He said, "Friend, have you wrought any work for Christ? Any work in His name, by His strength, and for His glory? Any work that will remain as fruit to your account? Begin with Mary, sitting at His feet, hearing His word, and drinking life into your soul. Begin with Mary, leaving the many things, and saying, 'One thing is needful.' Begin with Mary, choosing the good part that shall not be taken away. And you shall end with Mary, in the discharge of some noble work that will abide forever." Let me challenge you, the next time you take notice of somebody's feet, gross or otherwise, or maybe as you admire your own feet, I hope you're reminded of the example of Mary. And ask yourself, when was the last time I sat at the feet of Jesus? To choose the best and learn from Him, and to offer your all at the feet of Jesus.